Thursday, February 1st, I was up at 7. Actually, I have not slept late or well in a long time. And sometimes I have had nightmares within the last 2 weeks, only a very few times since my childhood. But today, I particularly wanted to be up early to use every last minute of it. And oh, miracle, it was a beautiful day. Clear golden sun, it was going to climb into the 70s, one of the first sunshiny days since Christmas. I made innumerable calls, a lengthy one to Bess and Liz about luncheons and meetings and lists in Washington, and to Roy and Wheezy and Ashton about my project of doing over the 2 baths here, and then at 9:30 left for the ranch, late and angry to be late, and drove up to the boyhood home a little before 10:30 to attend the first meeting, my first, of the Johnson City Garden Club. There were about 14 women sitting around in Mrs. Johnson's old best bedroom, Joyce Winters and Mrs. Jost from Cypress Mill, and of course Jesse and others I didn't recognize. Their purpose was to decide what to plant in the big cement containers that they had put out on the streets of Johnson City. They've already acquired them, 24 in all, I think, about 2 feet high and 36 inches across the top. Now the question is, what sort of a large shrub or small tree to plant in them? I had heard Jesse say, with a sinking heart, that they had about decided to put in ligustrum. So when they came to a period in the discussion, I said, as one member, I wanted to get in my word. I hoped whatever they put would be something that was native and indigenous and spoke of this country. And that second, it ought to be something easy to maintain, hardy and not disease-prone and not requiring much care, because it wouldn't get it. And then I told him I had discussed it with the men who were doing the job out at our house. And Mr. Swanson had suggested, first, azurita, and second, mountain laurel, and gave them all the pros and cons I could think of. One of the pros is that we can certainly find all the azurita we want on anybody's ranch, and maybe the mountain laurel. One of the cons, I'm sure the sidewalk philosophers, domino players and so forth, will really laugh at the ladies for putting out anything as common ordinary in their minds as agarita, and they'll certainly get scratched and stuck as they dig up those 24 agarita bushes. They'll probably wish they'd never heard of me. At any rate, I had my say, and we had an interesting back and forth talk about it. It was moved and passed that we take Mr. Swanson up on his nice offer to plant one for us the next time he's down, possibly the middle of next week, and then Jesse and the several committee members who accompanied him as he dug it up and planted it would decide whether they were able to do the same and whether it looked like they wanted it to. Then they could make their final decision. So we had more coffee, and we listened to the program. It was a landscape man from the Highway Department of the state of Texas giving advice to Mrs. John Householder on how to plan the planting around her house. When he finished, I asked him what would be the optimum time for wildflower blooms here in this area. He said, for bluebonnets, between April 5th and 25th, that he had never seen them this numerous and this sturdy this early, and if the rains kept up, it was going to be a glorious spring. On that happy note, I left. Spent an effective hour or two, I think, out at the ranch making final decisions on formica and wallpaper and paint and cabinet work and lights, and most especially a door in Marie's bedroom and bath. It's a triumph that we found some of the same wallpaper, although that was put up 16 years ago, and in the children's bath. Roy and I had lunch. I expect if I counted the hours I had spent with different individuals in the course of a year, Roy would be the very next to my family. And then we took a delightful little sojourn to the other side of the river to the park. We looked at the dance house, where, in stripping it, they have found a log cabin underneath, a floor worn smooth by many generations. Roy plans to use it as paneling, hopefully, in the new visitor's center. Stout beams overhead, big logs, chinked with a sort of a cement that has a lot of straw in it. This one they will tear down, but they will save the material and maybe use it elsewhere in the park. Then we went on to the old Sweeney house, and this was a delight. The two-room log cabin with a dog trot in between is emerging from its enclosure, a frame in gingerbread trim, and I feel like a real archaeologist. It will certainly add character and interest to the visitor center. I'm glad we decided to build it here so that we can incorporate this into it. Although it may have been the wrong decision from the standpoint of privacy of the Johnson family, it will, I think, be the right decision for the public. Back at the ranch, I talked with Mr. Wolf about some changes he is making, and then left for Austin, the day still glorious and driving a pleasure. What a quiet, low-key day this is, and how much I'm enjoying it. Is it the forerunner of a lifetime of such? And how long would I enjoy them? I think I'd have a project a week for the whole rest of my life. And nothing ever finished satisfactorily. Shortly after I reached Lucy's, Mr. Klein arrived on schedule. And all of Lucy's little mementos, from Pat's graduation from kindergarten, her high school degree, to Patrick Linden's birth certificate, which we had laid out on the floor in a carefully arranged pattern on a piece of paper just the size of the wall, Mr. Klein undertook to transfer to the wall, a project Lucy had had in mind ever since she moved in June of last year. And now, at last, it was done. While I went off to the beauty parlor, Larry's, for a hairdo, and then back just in time to see Lucy's beautiful baked chicken emerge from the oven, along with a pot of green beans with fresh potatoes. Lucy is a proud cook. She loves it, and her food is delicious. Meanwhile, we'd received an invitation from Mr. Kellum to go out and eat Mexican food. He refused all importunities to come here instead, and so we left for El Rancho, the four of us. Patrick bundled up and beginning to be sleepy. We picked up Jesse and took our seat in the crowded little Mexican restaurant, looking around, finding familiar faces, Gladys Gideon, several others I recognized but couldn't name. And Patrick set up a louder and louder demurra. Lucy was too nervous to eat. Mexican food is an addiction, and there's none as good as what you're used to in your hometown. So sometimes, sooner or later, I always have to have a big meal of it. And I enjoyed it with a cold carta blanca, feeling selfish, however, because Lucy simply cannot stand to have her baby crying in public. So she and Patrick took turns holding him and going out with him, and it was a relief when we left at the early hour of 9, dropped Jesse off, and went home. That good little soul, who can be bright-eyed and laughing till 10 o'clock, must occasionally act like a baby. Back at home, Lucy settled on my bed. Patrick was about to say goodnight when I said, "Sit down, let's talk a while." We did, about his place in the business. He is the quietest, most easygoing, kindly person. It is very difficult for Jesse, in his latter 60s, to turn loose authority. The business needs young blood, vigor, and I, alas, know less than nothing about it these days. At least to talk about it is good. And when we said goodnight, Lucy stayed behind a minute to thank me and tell me how much it meant to her. She is a winning little person, and it is a joy to visit her here.